Hi, welcome to the Shark Bros podcast. My name is Ronald Knoll and I'm one of the co-developers of Wireshark. In this podcast, we will discuss all things about Wireshark as well as topics from the world of packet analysis and Sharkfest, which is our packet analysis and developer conference. You will meet interesting people and learn why the truth is always in the packets. On our first episode, we're going to talk with Betty Du Bois and Sasha Mullen Lasseter about their experience with the Women in Wireshark Scholarship. Betty has been in the application network performance game since 1997. She came up with the idea of doing a Women in Tech Scholarship for a Sharkfest conference, of which Sasha was one of our original recipients. She comes from a non-IT background and recently started college to become a cybersecurity specialist. This will be one of two episodes about their experience with the scholarship program, Wireshark, and Sharkfest in general. Enjoy. Well, hello. We are here today at our first recording of the Shark Bites podcast, which is apparently how we're going to name it, with Betty Du Bois and Sasha, who was one of our contestants for Women in Tech and one of the two winners we had with our latest Sharkfest and Women in Wireshark, as we then aptly named it. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Great. I'm so excited about this. And it's nice to see you both again. Like I miss my family, my new Wireshark family.
Well, thank you very much for doing this. I saw your post earlier today. You don't put any pressure on us. No.
Really? No pressure.
For those of you who don't know, Women in Wireshark is a sponsorship program where we sponsor the fees for coming to Sharkfest for two women, I think we have again this year in Europe. It's going to end by the end of September, so if you are a woman interested in doing some packet analysis, which is fascinating and a lot of joy to do, or want to meet a lot of awesome people in a very nice location, go to the link we were going to post on the show notes, and you're gonna be one of our contestants for the sponsorship. Yeah, and with that, what did you take away from Sharkfest? What was your initial impression? What was your gut reaction when you first met us, very weary, nerdy bunch of group people?
Well, I felt immediately embraced and part of a family. And that was really surprising to me because I didn't know what to expect. I'm new to cybersecurity and I did my own deep dives between college and on my own studying and so forth. So being around people that were so, I thought that it might be where people are, they're so smart that they wouldn't maybe want to talk to me too much, but everybody was so wonderful and so accommodating. And they really brought myself and Christy, the other scholarship recipient, into the fold. And I felt so like I belonged and I found my tribe, and it was incredible and it was life changing. And I so recommend women to apply for this scholarship because it is absolutely life-changing, and you meet a whole new family of people.
Well, the scholarship program, as far as I remember, Betty, was one of your, or you were one of the initial idea deliverance or persons who came up with the idea. What is Sasha is basically the ideal candidate for the program, right?
Yeah. Well, the enthusiasm factor, definitely. The big thing that we were looking for, it was a need-based scholarship. And so obviously, you fit that criteria. And I want to hear more about that in your community college as well. But it was a need-based scholarship. When Sherry and I were narrowing the scope, one of the things we were looking for was obviously for that. And then also, too, we really wanted to pick one woman from more of a security background and then one more from a networking background so that both would be, represented. And so you came from the school. So there you go.
It's an honor. It's such an honor.
Really, no pressure. We're just, you know, just saying. You are representing all of the women in security for that package. So it's all good.
I mean, I have to say, it was kind of really refreshing to get your enthusiasm into the group and get your same with Christy, get your level of anticipation of meeting us. You know, most of the guys who come first time Sharkfest, we are a nerdy bunch. Let's be honest. Most of us are really, really nerdy, and with that comes a certain level of introvert people skills. One of the things that just stood out for me was you immediately felt integrated from an outside perspective. It was always being in the middle of conversation. Actually, I tried to talk to you and Christy the same during Sharkfest, and it was really hard to getting you at a certain point because you're always in deep conversations with other people. And I really enjoyed that because it showed how much what Sharkfest actually is, that the learning experience, the people experience, the getting new friends. So, Sasha, you're new to cybersecurity. You're currently in college. What was your road to your current training?
Okay. Well, I actually come from the music industry, working at jazz label that was originally called GRP Records. And when it comes to music technology, they had started something called N2K, which was Need to Know. And they were one of the first music technology companies. But I wasn't in the tech division of it. I was in marketing and PR and that kind of thing. And I also worked in recording studios in New York City. And then eventually record labels and, like I said, GRP and Sony and things like that. And my love for motorcycles kind of took over, and I ended up in the motorcycle industry, working big events, managing stages and productions. And I was writing for some of the magazines, which was amazing also. But I wanted to do something that made a difference in life. And it really bothered me that these threat actors were able to take down schools and businesses and, you know, critical infrastructure. And I thought, you know, I'm a kind of not on my watch kind of person. I kind of, because I'm also a community activist here in Nashville, that I wanted to be involved and help. So that was the road. And it was during the pandemic when I enrolled for college at Nashville State Community College and got on that cybersecurity path. And
they actually offered amazing people who wanted to totally switch jobs because of COVID to have that program, right?
Well, what was interesting is when I was listening to Mayor Cooper giving his address during the pandemic, and he said, if you're over 25 and you've never been to school, college, you could go to school for free. And I and I was on the computer immediately to see what Nashville State College offered. And I saw, they call it cyber defense, you know, right. And I was like, that's what I'm going to do. Absolutely. And it was something that was so incredible. This whole journey has been incredible. And I have to say, you know, when leading all up to the Wireshark opportunity that's so life-changing, it opened my world up to amazing people.
Yeah.
People who care.
There you go.
Well, the red team is fun sometimes as well.
Yeah, sure. You know, who doesn't want a pen test? But, you know, it is kind of cool to be able to tell people, yes, I defend the network. You know, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really special. And I'm glad that more people are getting involved in it. It's and I think it's great that the industry is reaching out to high school students, too.
Yeah.
So what was your first? I mean, I assume the first contact in the program was you have a lot of security stuff. You had a lot of, I hope, social engineering as well, because cybersecurity and social engineering is something hand to hand. What was your first contact with network? What was your first, when did you come across, what was your experience with that?
It's really interesting. Well, long ago, of course, it was a different scene back then, and not every company had you know, tech division or an IT person or anything. And so sometimes you were just left to just fix your own stuff, you know, and you didn't even know what you were doing. I mean, I can't even remember what I was doing back then, but it was like, oh my gosh, I got to fix this thing. And you just try a bunch of stuff and you go, wow, I guess I have a second nature and I don't even know what I did. And I fixed it. Okay, cool. And then that's just the way you approached it. Now, being in school and actually really learning the entire structure of a network is absolutely fascinating. And I absolutely love it. And of course, I'm getting in at a time now, understanding the discipline of assembling a really secure network, but also taking that into cloud security and understanding network architecture there. Yeah, it kind of mirrors your physical and it mirrors your other software-based stuff, but it's really an entirely different thing. It's just an entirely different thing. It exists elsewhere, you know, and that's to me like a whole section of cybersecurity that's really going to need to be further developed, you know.
When you just talked about that, it triggered some BNC end connector experience in the back of my head. Token ring networks came to mind. Yeah. The good old stuff.
I've sniffed Token Ring. Don't be laughing at that now.
No, I'm not laughing. I was the guy in an IBM practicum where we pretty much figured out we could annoy the bosses by taking a pin needle and sticking it into the Token Ring cable. Because that's pretty much undetectable. So if whatever wow. It was too boring, we just took a pin and stuck it into the cable, and suddenly guys came screaming all around the floor, who the hell did something? And
right.
Not us.
little signal degradation there. Yeah. No problem with that. Yeah, no problem.
No. It's fascinating because isn't that the one thing I like about tech, and you said it exactly like I experienced it myself. The feeling when you can fix something, you're not entirely sure why you fixed it, but this rush you get when you are able to figure stuff out, you get it yourself, you get there eventually.
Yeah, it's like solving a puzzle. It's so cool, you know?
Yeah.
We're all in it for the rush, seriously.
Oh, obviously.
We're bit heads, but we're just really bit head thrill seekers. So, yeah.
Yeah. But on the other hand, it's like talking a secret language, right? You can read bits and bytes and everybody else's. That's just numbers.
Yeah. It's like, no, it's not. It's its own language. It's very exciting.
So during your university course or college courses, did you ever use Wireshark before coming to SharkFest to a larger extent?
Yes, we do. Yes, in our college classes, Wireshark is introduced, absolutely. And we do use it sporadically in the lab environment. But it's not like we would use it the entire time throughout a course. We would be introduced to it. We would use it for whatever the chapter might have been. And then we move on. And it was interesting because I was just like, I got to know more about this Wireshark, you know? And I found Chris Greer's YouTube and I would watch that. And the professors would send some links to online learning environments and that. And some of them were really boring. And I don't know. This is kind of, it's not as exciting, I think. Not that I need everything to be exciting to learn, but I just felt like there was another way to learn somehow. And, you know, I found that Chris Greer stuff and I liked the way he was saying it. But I really didn't have, it was so very beginner, very, very beginner. I mean, still beginner, you know. Yeah. I stumbled upon the scholarship and I'm trying to figure out
how did you find out about the scholarship?
I'm not sure.
You remember?
I wish I could remember because I'm part of WSIS, Women in Cybersecurity.
Okay.
But I don't know if I saw it there and I can't remember, but I remember just being super excited and going, oh, there's a Wireshark Women in Tech scholarship. Oh my goodness. You know, and I applied for that. It was interesting because I first found out about SharkFest when I first signed up for college, just researching things, and it came right up. I thought, wow, what's this? Yeah. And I didn't even know what Wireshark was back then. I just said, I guess it's a bunch of computer people that get together. That's all I didn't know, you know? And then eventually, of course, I found out more. But it's a powerful program. And Betty, you're an amazing teacher. You make it fun. You make it You want to keep on going, yeah, and really learn.
Yeah. You know, you actually I read a lot of studies on adult learning, how to maintain, you know, what's the best way to teach to have the longest retention of the information. And it's amazing how correlating how you feel emotionally to how you learn. So Roland brought up that he was bored to death, you know, in his class. He may or may not remember half the stuff he learned. But if you're having a good time and you're enjoying it, and you're talking about ways to actually apply it in the real world, as opposed to this is bit one and this is bit two and this is bit three. You know, if I can apply it in the real world, then I'm going to remember it. I'm going to retain that better. I'm going to actually apply the information as opposed to just memorize the information.
Right. Yeah.
And that's always my goal. Always my goal.
And what's interesting too, the way you teach and the material that you present, if you've been, like for myself, I had to go right back into my studies. So me following up on some of the stuff that I did learn at Shark Fest, I couldn't do it right away. So I was thinking, oh my goodness, I hope I could retain this information. But the way that you presented it, the notes that I took, because, you know, I had to take notes in this shark notebook that you gave us because I love it so much.
Isn't
and
that
it's
fun?
So handy. It's
I
so
caught
fun.
Those at Office Depot of all places. I'm like, oh, so I need a dozen of those, please.
But I was able to jump back in. I was able to, with the material that you provided for us in the online environment, I was able to go in and go, okay, I totally remember this. Okay. And that's awesome. And that to me shows that you're brilliant at teaching. You're brilliant at that presentation.
You.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because and actually the physical act of writing, because, you know, my daughters are 24 years old. And for them, when they were in, you know, college and trade school, you know, they didn't want to, like, write notes, you know, so they're putting it all on their computer, right? And I'm like, no. You actually need to physically take notes because you remember it better. You apply it better. Having to listen and physically think about, all right, what are the important points here, and write those down fast enough to keep up really helps you to process the data faster and to retain it longer. And so I made them do that, and they hated me for it, but, you know, they got better grades.
You definitely learn more when you're writing. I believe
you
that.
Are.
It's the mechanics too. Mm-hmm. I think of
it is,
you know?
And people just don't think about stuff like that. And like I said, for me, how I teach people is very important to me. I take great pride in that. And so, like I said, I do a lot of study on, you know, how adults learn and how they learn differently. So I want to be sure, like, you know, some people are more auditory and some people are more visual, and, you know, some people are more like me, I'm a kinetic learner. And how can I, maybe not every single moment of every single hour is going to be specifically for your type of learning, but at some point we're going to hit the part that you're yes, that's me.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what I want. And because, you know, frankly, this is a boring topic if you approach it that way, but I approach it as human communication.
That I found it to be, that's the thing about Wireshark. To me, it was so fascinating because it was truly opening a window to what is going on in your network. And
what's going on in the background? What had to happen for that to happen?
Yes. Yeah. That's the real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you could take these classes over and over again, and you're always going to learn something new. Because there's so much to know.
Quite a few people in my class who have been in my class year after year. In fact, two of the guys in your row.
Oh, yeah, they're two fellas.
They've been to Betty Lynn before.
Betty Lynn.
Right in your row. And because you do, you know, you can't absorb everything because I talk really, 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 really fast. So it is good to go ahead and especially because a lot of people don't get to use Wireshark every day.
Right.
You know? I mean, even me, I mean, I do nothing but packet analysis. That's my whole job. I teach packet analysis. I go out and do consulting on packet analysis. I'm like, packet, packet, packet. Right. But even me, I don't get to do packets every single moment of every single day. And you forget stuff. And especially in like a normal job, you are expected to do 800 different things, you know, and have all these certifications, all this stuff, right? And you might use Wireshark, you know, once a quarter, or you might use Wireshark once a month or once a, you know, once every 2 or 3 weeks. You can't be expected to go, okay, I remember how to do that in Wireshark, number one, just the you know, the mechanics of it. And then number two, all right, when I see this, I know it meant that. You know, that part is that you've got to really be deep into it all the time in order to retain that. And so people come back, which is always flattering and awesome. I love that. So
one of the most fascinating experiences I had in Betty's class was I was sitting. The thing is, which most people don't know, us core developers, we don't know everything about Wireshark. We wrote the whole thing, but we have really, I would say Gerald is perhaps the person with the most comprehension of what the thing can do, but even he knows about 60-70% of all functionality. For instance, we have something called a wireless time frame toolbar, which no one has a clue what this thing does.
Not that I have an opinion about that because somebody turned it off. It's in Linux, though, so if you use Linux, there's that wireless toolbar, and it's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, Linux. I was sitting beside one of my core fellows in one of Betty's classes, and he was, you can do that with Wireshark?
Yeah.
And the fascinating fact about that is he looked it up and he remembered he wrote that.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh, that's just...
And he completely forgot about the feature that he wrote.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
No, but
tell him to put it back into Windows in the Mac, okay?
Every time I talk to Betty, I get to-dos.
You do, because especially because, hi, on the Mac, hello, you can go into RFMon right natively, but you can't have a wireless toolbar. So I actually, on my Mac, I go to Kali in Parallels and then do it, because that's really logical.
I take notes.
Love you, Roland.
Love you, too. That's one of the things when you talked about that, Betty. I mean, as a teacher, you have to be engaging, right?
It doesn't bring
something to the table if you just drone on in front of everyone and just keep on about the subject. I mean, I taught machine safety for over 10 years, and I can get people to sleep in about 5 minutes. That's really not a difficult task.
Makes me think of like the Clockwork Orange, you know, where they hold his eyes open, you know, and make him watch the stuff. You know, it makes me think of.
It really wouldn't matter. But at the same time, I had people sitting through 6-7 days courses with fascination. Because you have to be engaging. You have to bring the topic to life, basically, in front of everyone.
Yeah, that's true.
One of my trainers, when I started out teaching, he always had this thing. The things we want to do is knowledge, using, and understanding. We want to have those threes in a row. And as a trainer, you always strive to get knowledge across. And if you're lucky and if you're really, really good, you get using inside the session as well. The understanding part that people have to do on their own. And that's basically what you said, Sasha, before. So a good teacher gets you to using, but the understanding comes with practice. The understanding comes with repetition. The understanding
the
comes
when you use
it. The
practice is definitely important. Yeah, for sure. The practice is important. And my career goals is to work in industrial control system, critical infrastructure, and cybersecurity. So that's a whole other type of packet analysis and protocols, you know, and really excited about learning that portion of it and getting and digging in and getting involved.
That's my background. Industrial Ethernet, industrial control systems, that was my background for 10 years.
But and there's actually a woman who sat behind you, Sasha, who is in that field right now. The two of them were talking about the lack of info out there on industrial Ethernet. Roland, you've talked about this on Twitter before. There's just not a lot out there.
There's not a lot out there, but at the same time, it's a huge opportunity for somebody coming in. Because when you do cybersecurity and industrial Ethernet, you find a blank field.
Yeah.
There are certain spots and watchtowers and people who did stuff, but most of the time you're on a blank slate. It's difficult getting in, but once you establish the foothold, you're basically set. People won't get rid of you, people will talk to you, people will get hold of you because you're one of the experts pretty soon. It's fascinating. At the same time, it's a 30-year-old industry. It hasn't changed. There are specifications that have been written 30 years ago in industrial Ethernet are still viable today. I mean, one of the most fascinating things you can talk about in that regard is a lot of industrial Ethernet control systems are hub-based. You won't find, in a lot of systems, you won't find a switch anywhere. Why?
Wow.
Because the protocol is 20 years old.
Yeah.
It can't run on switches. It has to, it's basically a whole broadcast network. Everybody is talking broadcast messages.
Oh.
There is something like single curse just doesn't exist.
Not that that's like, you know, secure in any way, shape, or form. Oh, well.
No.
Look at all the opportunity for you, Sasha. There you go.
Yeah. And, you know, what I'm impressed about too is CISA, the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, you know, they just announced today, I believe it was, that they are putting forward a cybersecurity grant to help small businesses and rural communities with critical infrastructure security, which is so awesome. And they've been doing wonderful things in ICS, cybersecurity, educational presentations and so on that I sign up for all the time. In fact, I've been trying to sign up for everything, you know, that I could find. It's webinars and seminars and everything about that topic.
Right.
Yeah. It's definitely
and
an evolving.
You get to go to, like, right after SharkFest, didn't you get to go to DEF CON or Black Hat? I can't remember
Black
now.
Hat.
You
I
got
went
a
to
scholarship
Black
there
Hat.
As well.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I got a scholarship there, but something had crossed during the, I guess, the admin of my scholarship in the back office, and they started sending me conference associate stuff. I was like, well, I don't understand, you know, what I have to show up to work or something. I thought I was a scholarship recipient, you know, going right. there on scholarship to attend the briefings. And they had mentioned to me, no, I have you as a conference associate. And so I decided to just, okay, I'll go as a conference associate and help out and help everybody. And so I was out there directing people where to go and briefings and I got to see Chris Krebs speak because I was working that room. So that was really nice.
Good.
And I met a lot of nice people through Black Hat, really, really wonderful people as well. And there was just so many possibilities for people entering into the field, which I thought was great, you know. But also, it's so important as an entry level person, it's so important to have that skill set like Wireshark going in. It really is.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
people really want to see that you have a handle on what's coming into a network.
Yeah, and specifically, and why, and who. Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
This was the first part of the Women in Wireshark episodes. Stay tuned for the upcoming part 2 and visit the SharkFest website as well as take a look at our show notes for more information. Thank you for listening to this installment of the Shark Bites podcast. If you want to stay informed about upcoming episodes, please subscribe to our podcast on YouTube or your podcasting platform of choice. My name is Roland Knoll. See you next time.